In episode 81, we took a look at you and your heritage. Looking back, what language or languages and culture do you have in your background? What do they mean for your present? How might they serve you in the future? In this episode, we're going to take a look at how do you know what you know with regard to your language? How do you measure your expertise in your language? And when you do measure it, how do others know? And what difference might that make in the opportunities that you have in your life because you've been able to measure what you know in your language? So let's take another look at you. Let's bring that heritage and other studies forward and take a look with Linda Egnatz today how to measure that and what the impact is for your future. Hi, I'm Nora Jones. Welcome to It's About Language. So, what is language all about? Well, it's about learning and sharing, opening doors in education, work, and life. Language is about creating communities and creating boundaries. It's all about the mystery of what makes us human. So, our conversations will explore that mystery and the impact of what makes us human. It's about language in life. It's about language at work. It's about language for fun. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, my name's Chaz Volk. You haven't heard from me in a long time. In fact, if you go all the way back to episode 46, you'll know that I am the podcast producer for this very podcast that you're listening to. I've had the honor of serving Nora Jones for some time now. The reason why I'm making this guest appearance very quickly here on the episode is because this is my very last episode producing this podcast for Nora Jones and Fluency Consulting as a brand. And it is an incredibly bittersweet moment for me, as I wonder if it's a bittersweet moment for any of you. Since 2021, when I met Nora, I have had the opportunity to learn from her, to grow with her, and to realize that Nora is an incredibly giving person, which is ironic because Nora decided to title my episode The Go-Giver. She called me the giver, when in fact she is the giver. She has witnessed a lot of journeys that I have personally gone through. For example, I have learned to be the entrepreneur I am today. She also has witnessed me become more observant as a Jew. Nora Jones gifted me something incredible, which was the handwritten Shema, which is in Judaism our holiest prayer, framed in gold. It was originally crafted in Jerusalem itself, so it really is an authentic holy scripture that was written for me. She gifted that for me recently as a thank you and as an encouragement for my cultural dive. I wanted to personally insert this note to say thank you, Nora. Thank you for encouraging the growth of not just my business, but the other businesses that have been a part of this amazing podcast. And thank you for your friendship. Till next time.
So I have thoroughly enjoyed getting a chance to connect up again with Linda Egnatz. And Linda, thank you very much for taking my call today. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Linda, I'm looking to connect up with you. I have brought to the attention of my listening audience, again, the nature of heritage language, heritage culture, looking at their past and also determining the interaction of heritage into their future. And one of the things that we've been engaged in, you and I, and the various podcasts that have been coming up this last 2 years is, so what opportunities come from knowing language? What sort of access to the world, individually, community, comes through language? There are, through seals of biliteracy, which I'm focusing on at this particular podcast, ways of proving one's linguistic level of skill. Can you begin, for the listening audience, reviewing what it is that seals of biliteracy, or however you'd like to redefine it, are helping people to place a label on their level of control of a language?
That's a great question, and one that I answer frequently. And I think at the basic level, we all kind of think about languages as, you know, oh, I know such and such a language, or I can speak fill in the blank language. But when you begin to actually think about using that language or having it recognized for college placement into a course or for employment purposes, there needs to be more gradation. And I often think about when someone finds out that I'm bilingual or multilingual, they ask, well, are you fluent? And I always have to pause because I know what I don't know. And yet someone listening to me might think, yes, I was fluent, but I know what I can't do. So I'm not a native speaker in that language. And so I think that's what the seals of biliteracy do. At a basic level, they provide a measure. And for the most part, that measure is based on the ACTFL scale of proficiency, which has some broad categories. And in the realm of the seals of biliteracy, we think the first category would be a novice level. So it's a beginning learner who's really not independently using the language yet. And that level does not qualify for any seal of biliteracy. The next level is what we refer to on the ACTFL scale as intermediate. And it does have some sort of in-betweens. It has an intermediate low, an intermediate mid, and an intermediate high. And across the states for the state seal of biliteracy, as well as within the program that I direct, the global seal of biliteracy, that intermediate zone is where the seals of biliteracy begin to be awarded. And that's because at that level, we call our first level of certification in the global seal functional fluency. So in that level of intermediate level language, you're functional. You can get by. So in the job space, that might mean you could be a receptionist. You could be a tour guide that has a memorized spiel and answers frequently answered questions like, where's the bathroom? Or, you know, where do I buy souvenirs? Or whatever that tour guide might need to do. But it's also someone who could be the banker or the mortgage lender. It's someone who could provide some directions, give a simple sort of description, ask and answer some basic questions, and really survive functionally in the language. And we talk about that person as being someone who could be understood by a sympathetic native speaker. That means someone who's willing to try hard to understand, even if there are grammatical errors or the wrong vocabulary word was chosen. Or that person maybe just needs to connect some of the dots that are missing. Mm-hmm. And so I think at that level, we don't want to say it's all or nothing, that you have to be completely fluent to use your language. Language skills, even at the very polite novice level, if I can travel and use please and thank you, that goes a long way toward creating connections in human relationships. But the more you know, the better. And so we want to do a couple of things with the seals. The first is we want to then document it. So a student could be easily placed into a university program so they can continue that language journey to a higher level. So that next level on the ACTFL scale is advanced. And that person is where a language teacher would be certified. That's where you would find most likely most translators are somewhere in that space or above. Mm-hmm. And so at that level, language is much more nuanced. You can handle the situations you don't expect. And that, you know, it just grows. But we don't want students to stop at that first level. And so with the global seal and some of the state seal programs as well, there are more than one level of achievement. And we think that's important because, again, how much language you can use does vary and its purposes vary. But the more we acquire, the better it gets. And so we don't want to, you know, just say one and done and you're, you know, thank you, congratulations. I guess you don't need to learn any more language. There's nothing. And so with the global seal, we actually have three tiers of certification. We have a higher one that we call professional fluency because we really do recognize language learning takes time. And it's important to sort of not only recognize, but document the benchmarks along the way, because any amount of language I have is useful. It's just useful for different purposes.
Phenomenal. Now, focusing for just a moment on those that are looking at heritage, how do heritage speakers of, say, I would say young adults and older, ones that are listening, that they themselves or neighbors that they know or groups in a community that they're aware of, how do they go about discovering how they, again, prove their language skill and very nicely said, at the various levels for which they may wish to prove it, depending on their desired usage of language. How do they go about that?
Well, if they're an individual language learner, and there are lots of them out there, there are people who have acquired language along the way. If they're if it's a heritage language, you know, they might have got it from their parents or in going to a heritage language school program on Saturdays. Potentially, they spent summers with their grandparents in another country. So they're, you know, or they're just interested in their heritage and are working on Duolingo. There's a number of ways that we acquire language, all of them great. There isn't a bad way to acquire language. But if I'm an adult and I'm not in an official program, then it really is important for me to maybe take time to measure my language skills. First of all, as you know, I might be able to use that language skill in my employment and get a language pay differential. So there's that. But more importantly, some of it's just your own need to know. I mean, I'm curious, like, well, what do I have enough of language to do? You know, some of us tend to underrate and undervalue what we can do. And we might be surprised when we actually take an assessment test. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that the Global Seal of Biliteracy does is we have two different pathways to get language certification. We have our group sort of pathway, which is typically what an employer does when they want to test their employees, or a school or a university does when they're going to test their students. But we also offer an individual pathway to that language certification. And that can be done with any number of different tests that are out there. And a test that is measuring for a seal of biliteracy includes both, you know, two languages by the term bi part. And then the literacy part means that it's not just speaking and listening. It's also reading and writing. And not all, but many of the tests that we use actually provide you a score in each of those four skill areas. And if I'm a language learner and I want to level up and improve my language, that's really helpful to know. Like, wow, my listening skills are off the chart, or I can really read. You know, that's something I can do very well in French, but putting it together, what the vocabulary I know in a grammatical sentence is not so easy. And I think it's important for me as a language learner to use that information, what we would call in education, formatively, as a way to sort of say, okay, here's some coaching. This is what I need to work on next, because that's the area that I might be weak in. But I also get to celebrate that strength. So maybe that high reading skill was in the advanced range, even though the speaking maybe is way down in that novice level range. And that's important for people to know, because different jobs or purposes might require something different. If I just want to read for enjoyment, maybe that's okay. But if I want to document my language for more money, then, you know, maybe it's, you know, then that's an important piece to take. And a test can do that for you. And then the Global Seal will take that test score and turn it into a serial numbered language certificate, credentialing what you're able to do. We'll describe it in employer terms, and you can add it to your resume or CV or even to a LinkedIn profile, and now officially own that language that is important to you. And as a heritage learner, that's a part of your identity. And it's also a nod of acknowledgement and appreciation to your parents or grandparents and your forebears in terms of, you know, where you've come from. But it's also useful. And so I think, You know, we look at it in a number of different sort of valuable ways, but it's certainly doable. And it, and you know, you can have it done in as little as 2 or 3 weeks, test and certificate. So it's not an impossible proposition.
It sounds so powerful because it's a process that is sounds like it's easy to understand. And this registration of the result, the certification, and the information that's provided in the language, and as you mentioned, of an employer is quite extraordinary. Let's take a look at what languages we might be talking about. And are we talking about something that is limited to the United States, or are we talking about something that has global implications for adult heritage or other? But I'm so focused on the heritage folks right now, to be able to follow through with this learning and certification?
Well, I think at the base, global is definitely the word to use when we're talking languages. Languages are global and they connect us in interesting ways, whether it's virtually or face-to-face through travel or visits or something else. And so when we look at the heritage space, the global seal, we're able to provide certification and documentation in over 130 different languages. And we are global in the sense that we are all, have already issued the Global Seal of Biliteracy in 13 different countries, I think, and counting, in Asia, Latin America, obviously all 50 US states, and Europe, and so, and UK, we're going to be, and so it's really an exciting piece, because you'll see individuals that have a language skill but have never taken a test and excited to document that. But we also look at the sort of the space of when you're talking about international recognition, one of the things that's important is that this ACTFL scale that I described previously isn't necessarily the scale that's going to be used in other countries. Mm-hmm. And so the Global Seal also does a certification process using the CEFR, or what's called the Common European Framework of Reference, which is basically the Council of Europe or the EU, and how they look at language and measuring it. And it's been used for a long time, and because in Europe, where it's a little bit more, the countries are a little more like sizes of states. And so there is much more fluidity when a worker or an employer is moving from one country to another. And that not important level of language skill is important to employers, because it can determine, you know, how well does that person interact with someone else on the job or another customer or client. And so I think as an individual heritage learner, so for example, in my state of Illinois, our most popular language after English and Spanish is Polish. We have a huge Polish population. We have Polish speaking communities, but we also have lots of interaction with Poland and sister cities in Poland. And I think that that piece allows you to sort of broaden your own personal connections and to become more active in a heritage community. So I don't know if I completely answered that question or if I went off target, but if you have a heritage language and you know, celebrate it, because you might be surprised. You might take a summer course in your native country. You know, there's lots of things you can do.
So many things. I'd like to do a shout out to a supporter of my podcast, Avant Assessment. Avant Assessment is also the sponsor of the Global Seal of Biliteracy. And so the commitment to assessment as a measurement of skill is all baked into what Avant Assessment does. Thanks, Avant Assessment, for being a supporter of my podcast and for this special way of measuring what we can do in our lives with our languages. Do you have a story that you enjoy, an experience with an individual or some group you've worked with anywhere in the world, because you travel quite a bit on behalf of Global Seal, where like you've seen lights go on, changes and opportunities open?
Wow. Yeah, lots of them. I mean, here in the U.S., it's been a joy working with some of those heritage language schools that meet on Saturdays or Sunday afternoons. They oftentimes sort of exist in a silo. The teachers imagine there's very little pay. Sometimes it's volunteer, and they're there every Saturday for 20 years while those children are growing up. And it's an amazing commitment and passion to keep that heritage alive. And so I've had the joy of working with a number of those communities. I've had the opportunity to visit some of those schools. I visited a Czech school in Chicago, a Bulgarian school in Seattle. And it's really exciting. I've had opportunities to be in both the Czech and Bulgarian embassies, because those countries are really excited that their expats are passing on the language, but also the culture, the heroes, their art, their literature. And so all that's, that's always been special. I'm working on some projects now with the heritage community in UK, where, again, when they've immigrated to a new country, there's concerns of how do we, prevent the language from being lost, and how are we working to preserve it? And I have an opportunity to work with a group, with an Arabic group that'll be testing for the Global Seal this fall in Poland recently, and working with the Polish community there, who's also welcoming their own group of Ukrainian immigrants that are bringing a language, and dealing with the challenge of integrating those 3 million plus Ukrainians into their schools. Yeah. And I visited a school where we were testing for the Global Seal of Biliteracy, and on the wall there were images and different things, school supplies, or the water fountain, and the nurse's office, and it was labeled both in Ukrainian and in Polish. And so looking at where language comes to play and how we can support it and encourage it and applaud it is just a joy.
That's phenomenal. I appreciate it very much. The question I have for you next is, let's turn to the listener that's like, okay, I want to take advantage of this. I want to find out where my language level is. I think it's good enough to maybe even place per your initial descriptor, or I would like to encourage a friend of mine. How do you go about it?
So you would go start for the Global Seal of Biliteracy, which is available to adults. Those state seals, as important as they are generally only available to high school seniors. So if you're not a high school senior any longer, the Global Seal is a great option for you. And so it starts with our website, which is www.theglobalseal.com. And there is right in the navigation menu, there is an apply button, which is basically going to get you the information you need for your next steps. There's also a referral there where you can select a language and get a referral for a test. So that's something that will be available to you. We have a qualifying test page also in navigation where it would take you to, let's say you could, there's a test finder. So that's another tool you can use. You can pick the language that you want to test in. So let's say you want to test in Arabic, and you click on that little button, and it's going to show you all the different tests that we have that have been qualified to test Arabic in 4 skills: speaking, reading, listening, and writing. And it will take you to a summary of what does that test look like. It has 25 listening questions and 25 reading questions. It'll also have a link to the test website. And that's really important, because most test websites will give you more details, and they oftentimes have a practice test, so you can see how it goes or see what it's like if you're intimidated, or how to prepare for your test. So we also have some of those kinds of resources. Additionally, on our website, we have resources for language learners. So let's say I know my other skills are pretty good, but I want to work on my writing skills. And so we actually have some sort of how-to videos of, like, here's ways to study and level up your writing skills on your own. and different things that you can do. So we really do want to, you know, support that. And a great example of what adults did in this past July, the Global Seal partnered with Avant Assessment and the Chambers of Commerce and the Mayor's Office of Eugene, Oregon, because the University of Oregon was hosting the World Athletic Championships. These are track and field type activities. And this World Athletic Championship had never been held in the U.S. before. And Eugene is not a large city. And they were concerned about how might they be able to welcome the world to Eugene. And so we partnered with them and with the airport and the travel bureau and other entities. And we tested number of adults, I think it all totaled in 28 different languages, to become global guides. And they were on-site volunteers at the event. They were on-site volunteers at the airport to meet and greet people. We used a QR code. So if there wasn't a person in person, there was a QR code where they could go to a virtual app we created where there would be someone through text or video messaging that could also support their language. And so we found a number of these adults, many of them expressed that same concern, like, well, I don't know if I'm good enough. But most of them not, we only had, I think there were only two that didn't qualify at one of our levels of certification. And some qualified in more than one. And they were so excited to use this heritage language to meet and greet and help assist people from their native speaking countries from all over the world. So we had individuals from Africa and Latin America and Europe and Asia that had come in and were excited. There's somebody that speaks my language. And it was pretty exciting.
Sounds wonderful. It's encouraging just to hear you talk about it. For a moment then, let's turn to the other kind of seal that you've referred to. Let's say that there's an adult listening that knows of a young person in their own family or in their community or however they might know this young person. What are the methods for young people, both of heritage language background, but also of those that are formally learning a language in school for as a new one, to be able to receive such a sense of where their language level lies and how to describe it to themselves and to the world?
So if you know a young person that speaks a language and you think they might also be able to potentially read or write that language at some level, it can start with as easily as a test. That young person can test with their school. Their school is, you know, may already have some testing available. For example, the College Board Advanced Placement Test, that's only available in six languages, but that's very commonly done in certainly in high schools. So that may be one option, but there are a number of other tests that I mentioned that are also appropriate to learners. And typically, we see this skill at the level of certification begin in the middle school level. In fact, we've had middle school students that have tested in that advanced range in all four skills. Wow. Because they're in a heritage language learning program or in a dual language or immersion program. And we're really excited to start that pathway. Remember, we have those three credentials, so we're going to keep the carrot out there for them to continue that language learning journey. But they have the opportunity, they could potentially test with their schools. If they're a high school senior, that might be able to take advantage of that additional sort of what we refer to as a state seal of biliteracy that is always open to those public schools who have opted in. But in some states, they also will include a student that is in a private school program, although not all. Or they can also choose the Global Seal of Biliteracy, and it won't matter what grade they're in, just that they have those same language skills that I described earlier. And so there's a number of different ways. And what we like to think of is even the more the merrier. If they're in a state that has a state seal, but they're already learning their language and have some great language skills, maybe give them a benchmark award and recognize them earlier and keep them on that journey by keeping them excited. When you tell someone they're good at what they do, they continue to do it. And so that might be another option. So yes, absolutely. The same process that works for an adult can work for a younger learner. But if they're in a program that has something available to them with their school, that's another opportunity to be recognized.
Fantastic. What kind of costs are involved with some of these scenarios you have presented to the listeners today?
Well, the state seals by legislative law, as well as the global seal, in terms of the certification of the language skills, are all free. So there's no cost to the actual certificate or the credential, or the seal of biliteracy if it's a state program. The cost does come into play with the cost of testing. There are tests that are available in the $20 to $25 range. So that's an incredible return on investment, considering you could, you know, earn a global seal and add it to a LinkedIn profile. So that's a great tool. It can, you know, certainly we've had students, you know, with their global seal use it to not just for advanced placement into second and third year college programs, allowing for an easy major or minor in the future, but also for scholarships. So there's a great return on investment for having that kind of seal of biliteracy. There's also the opportunity to take that and then be able to use that as a springboard to your next step. So if I'm a heritage learner, maybe that we've had heritage learners that with their documentation of their language skill be accepted into universities in Europe, where, by the way, tuition is much more affordable. So there's lots of options that that certainly those students can take advantage of.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for expressing that, because sometimes that's where people are concerned about the expenses. And this is an extraordinarily affordable opportunity to enter into what can be an extremely lucrative outcome. Linda, what other things? What's some of the final words that you would like to make sure that the listeners who are interested in this concept of proving their language skills and being able to apply them effectively need to hear from you with your skills and knowledge that you have that you're bringing today?
I think probably the first and maybe the most important is, as a language learner, that's either excited about continuing to grow your language or proud of what you've acquired, you should know what that level is. And so I think just testing is important just so you have an external view of where your skills are. And I think it's important for discovery purposes, because sometimes I think I'm good at something and maybe I'm better than I thought, or maybe it shines a light on something I was sort of ignoring, like my French speaking skills. And so I think one of the things that you know, it can lead to the test is just gives you information. It tells you where you are in each of those skill areas. And many of the tests also provide some, what we would call in education, metacognitive strategies. So these are just simple suggestions and tips on how to improve. Like, what do I do to get to the next level? Maybe I should use more complex sentences or be a little more organized in my writing. Or maybe I should maybe use more vocabulary, you know, pick the fancy word over the simple one that I repetitively used. And so I think that, first of all, it gives you that information. And then there is the added bonus that, depending on your level, you can get a certificate that might turn into more money. I mean, we think about, for example, in law enforcement, there's incredible pay differentials for those who, you know, have language skills. In medicine, the American Nursing Association says nationally it's about a 7% pay differential, which could add up to, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 more on my salary a year. So yeah, language recognition is worth it.
Sounds wonderful. Give the website again for the Global Seal. And I know that folks will go there for a variety of insights, as well as opportunities to practice and learn about the tests.
So it's www.theglobalseal.com. www.thesealofhope.com.
Thank you very much, Linda. This has been extremely helpful, I know, to the listeners, and I look forward to them taking advantage of their language skills and getting the excitement to be able to grow them further. Appreciate your help today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed and profited from this invitation to consider that when you look at the languages in your life, be they heritage languages that you can continue, or languages that you have learned in school, or a combination, that you feel invited to measure those for your well-being and also for society's well-being. Take a look at how languages investment helps your life and helps us all, and thank you for bringing those languages into the world to make it a more hopeful, better place. Until next time.